And the art of pleasing Krishna is pleasing Krishna's devotees, especially spiritual masters. And all the Vaishnavas, when we say please, especially pleasing the spiritual master, we also know that what pleases the spiritual master. Sometimes very young devotees, they want to have the ghee lamp in their hand as an example, and their spiritual master is there, and they'll knock everyone down to please their spiritual master. Of course not. What do you mean? That he doesn't understand anything of elements of sincerity. We have to actually please the Vaishnavas. So, Machita Madgata Prana Bodayantas Paraspara. Bodayantas is preaching. Paraspara amongst themselves. So, mindfully absorbed in Krishna, life given to Krishna, preaching amongst the devotees, amongst the non-devotees. Katayantas means always speaking Krishna Katha. And this is very difficult. The cotton swab of our chitta or consciousness has to be red with Krishna Katha. In other words, we have to have heard Krishna Katha a lot and always be desiring it. And this is actually Krishna's mercy. This is the result. Shushu sho shodadanasya vasudeva katha ruchishyan mahasevaya vibro punyatyajana sevana. The result of all the service that we do is we develop a deep taste for Krishna Katha. And just like the fish cannot live without water, exalted devotees cannot live without Krishna Katha, and that's all they want. Sometimes devotees would go into Prabhupada's room. In fact, sometimes he would call devotees into his room and say, "See what I'm doing when I'm not busy with other things? I'm reading Krishna books." Not artificial, but it's the natural taste develops through service. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss. This is the result, tasyanti charamanti cha, from enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is called istagosti. Istagosti means talking around, all around the topics about istadevati, our worshipable deity. All the Krishna Katha, talking everything about different subjects about Krishna. That is istagosti. The movement, I remember 22nd Avenue. On Sunday, we would lock the door, pull down the blinds and the curtains, and then have an istagosti. And it would usually open, we'd read some Bhagavad Gita, or Bhagavatam actually, and all the devotees would discuss the topics about Krishna, like that, privately, just amongst the devotees. Okay, I won't even attempt to finish. Now, tomorrow we'll continue. Any questions or comments?
How does knowledge create from Krishna?
Because it's hearing about Krishna. Hearing and realizing. Because, see, what is the result of sinful act, of sin? Sin means anartha. Things that are anartha, of no value. So when light replaces the darkness, when things are valued, you cannot keep in your mind your the two contradictory things. So by the potency of good, powerful hearing of the knowledge about Krishna, our valuing material life naturally decreases. Just naturally, the more we value service to Krishna, just naturally, the less we're going to value temporary things.
So
and that's Krishna's mercy, how he does that.
When he says sins here, he means the simple desires within the heart rather than previous sins.
No, everything happens.
So how does he?
There's four different levels of sins.
How does it
include the Bija, Parapta, Aparapta? One is the unlimited stuff that we have in our heart from time immemorial. And kuta is our allotment for this life. And Bija is the desires as they're coming out. And Prarabdha is the full, is the manifestation. Devotion annihilation. This is described. Shinvatam Spakakakrishna Punyashavikavadrani. That when we become eager to hear Krishna personally from within the heart removes the abhadrani, inauspiciousness, which is an artha, which is all these different levels. Initiation brings us to initiation. Initiation annihilates. It brings us to see the deities. It brings us to chant the holy names. It brings us to give in charity. It brings us to bow down before the deities, before the devotees. It brings us to put tilak on. Knowledge brings us to pure activity.
In the painting, you said that about Krishna's offenses. Yeah, but it means we should not tell people in the painting that they should read Bhagavad Gita. Because if they read Bhagavad Gita, and if they are not a friend of Krishna, then by, it's like somebody is not my friend, and I start telling him, I've got a club here, I've got a car here, I've got a
bed.
So if we tell people,
except Prabhupada's purports are like a hammer, and they smash that and they point it out for what it is, and therefore Prabhupada wanted us to be speaking in his books to everyone. Even Bhagavad Gita, which is in one sense meant for the devotee. And this question is actually explained in the 18th chapter, where Krishna says he who explains the secrets of the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. And Prabhupada asks the question, why is it that sometimes we hold open classes then? So there's two reasons. One is you never know who is a devotee, because sometimes you give someone the Bhagavad Gita and that person is just making believe he's asleep somewhere, and he just wakes right up. He was just waiting to hear this transcendental sound vibration. And then on the other hand, it's in and of itself, it's purifying. Just to hear Sri Bhagavan Vacha, to hear that there is a Supreme Personality of God, especially in India, where the Krishna consciousness is just so much close to the surface. But even all over the world, looks like Satchinandana Swami wrote me a letter one time and said that the devotees were distributing books in Yugoslavia, holding Bhagavad Gita and all that. Taking such great risks, actually incredible. And he received a letter from a taxi driver in, what's the name of that? Sarvajay or whatever it is. Yeah. Yes. So he received a letter from a taxi driver in that city who was a member of the minority group, because it's divided and the killing is the most inhuman, cruel killing that's going on. So he was a member of the minority group there, and he was a taxi driver. And he had a fight with one of the other taxi drivers, and they turned him into the police and said that he was a spy. And those people at this time, there's not the slightest compunction about killing. So the secret police came to his house and arrested he and five other taxi drivers. And they began to torture him. But somehow or another, he had received the Bhagavad Gita. And he remembered Krishna. And he had read part of it. And he remembered either Krishna or the Mahamantra or something like that. Just some taxi driver in the middle of Yugoslavia. Somehow or another, he remembered it and he called out to Krishna. Well, they were torturing him. And they ended up letting him go. And they didn't completely let him go, they just punished him by all the other people that were with him that killed, that he had to dig the graves. That was his only punishment. So he wrote him saying how Krishna Also, I remember when I was in Hong Kong, there was this one Chinese boy who was preaching to, he was a Christian. So he was always being attacked by ghosts. And he said, whenever I chant about Jesus' name, the ghosts still bother me, but when I chant Krishna's name, it never bothers me. So anyway, who knows how Krishna's name and Krishna's potency works. But my realization about that, our business isn't so much the results about who is going to take it and what's going to happen. Our business is to loudly call out Krishna's name in all the different forms and spread it as wide as possible between the books and the holy name of the prasadam. And how people react to that is up to Krishna and them. That's my... Just one more question, because... But Krishna made sure that Vyasadeva picked it up. He was telling him this knowledge for the purpose of, for the benefit of everyone.
That's my favorite thing.
DJ Tanamana Vistam, Sri Dom Dina Mutare, Sayam Kukadamaya, Madame Sarama. So then prayer, we offer our humble obeisances to Srila Rupa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who is establishing the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within this material world. So that verse is very dear to the Vaishnavas who are following Srila Prabhupada. Because we'll see that Prabhupada is really such a Rupa Nuga devotee. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, part, was to spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra, throughout every town and village of the world. And Rupa Goswami, knowing the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was certainly wrote so many books for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada actually fulfilled this desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how intimate and dear and associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Srila Prabhupada. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose him of all the billions billions of personages in existence, billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions, unlimited billions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had such an intimate associate, chose such an intimate associate to perform this confidential pastime of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Yesterday we were reading from the 10th chapter wherein Krishna explained that he would tell of his opulences to Arjuna. Because if Krishna himself did not tell of his opulences, there would be no way that Arjuna can know them. Because through our tiny brains, which are limited, as explained in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have a field of activities, which means, looking at it in a rough analogy, just like we have a house, and that house has a backyard. And when you put a little small child, a baby, in that backyard, it has a fence around it, so he can play to his heart's content, but it is limited where he can play and how far he can wander and what he can play with, depending upon what facilities are within that backyard, that playground, so to speak. So similarly, there is Chetra and Chetra Gya. The Chetra Gya, the knower of the field of activities, is the soul who is conscious, and the Ketra, the Chetra, is the field or the expanse of the material world within which we have the facility to be conscious and dominate to some degree by that consciousness. So, regardless of how big our consciousness is, how big our Chetra Gya, Chetra is, the field of our activities, even if it extends like Lord Brahma does, to the ends of the universe, still, because Krishna is beyond the universe, beyond matter, we cannot even catch a glimpse of His greatness. Because it is beyond. We can speculate and come to the point of understanding that whatever exists within this material world has nothing to do with Krishna. He is beyond it. And therefore we can speculate to speculation, be thinking that Krishna is impersonal, is arupa, he has no form, he is aprakriti, he is non-material. But to actually understand that Krishna has a transcendental body that is so beautiful, with his transcendental smile, with his transcendental lotus eyes that almost come to his ears, with his transcendental hair falling in the darkest waves to his shoulders, and filling up his flute with the liquid nectar from his lips. So how will we speculate and come to that conclusion that this is the Supreme Lord? How will we, through our speculative powers or intelligence, understand that when Krishna's flute saying that the Yamuna stops flowing, how will we understand that? And that breath melt in ecstasy. And that calves lift their ears as if they were cups and try to catch the liquid nectar that's flowing from the flute of Krishna. How will we understand that through our experiences in the cetera of the material world? It is beyond. And if we hear about these qualities of Krishna without hearing from them from the right source, we are guaranteed to think of them as mundane. We are guaranteed to think of them as mundane. Therefore, the intimate feelings of Krishna and Vraja The intimate dealings of Krishna and Vraja are not for faithless people. They are not for neophytes. They are for those who understand something about the transcendental world, or some transcendental experience already, and are not limited to the material world. Otherwise, you will take our material concept and place it upon Krishna and assume that Krishna is something like us. But we will have no idea. So therefore we follow the purifying process. We hear Bhagavad Gita and understand it deeply. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning and understand it deeply. And then we can have a glimpse of the nectar which is Sri Vrindavan Dham. Yet it is that Sri Vrindavan Dham that is the goal. And serving Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham is prayojana. That is the goal, the perfection, becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of those who want to please Krishna. For those who actually have the capacity to please Krishna, it is very hard for us to accept in this, with our big false egos, pardon the expression. But Krishna doesn't need our service, and all the top positions are filled. Srimati Radharani is there, Lalita is there, Vishakha Devi is there, Tunga Vidya is there, Chitra. All the gopis are there, all the coward boys are there already. Mother Yasoda is there, Nanda Maharaj is there, Kundalata is there, everyone is there already. Rohini Devi is there, all the top positions are filled. And they all have servants. And all the servants have servants. And all the servants have unlimited servants. And if we go there, we're lucky if we get to do anything. And even if we do it, something, they don't need us. So the goal of Krishna consciousness is to become an insignificant servant. One of billions and zillions of quadrillions of servants. Do you still want to go? Very difficult for the conditioned soul to accept this fact. That I can never become anything wonderful or big. I can just become an insignificant servant. Anyway, no one's left the room after I said that. That's a good sign. So we're ready to go further. And here's something about Krishna's glories. Now, Krishna's already explained this most confidential, not most confidential, but it is the greatest description of his opulences, complete, that he will give in the Bhagavad Gita. This is Chakra Sloki Bhagavad Gita. Aham Savasya Prabhavo, who has memorized now? Bolo? Bolie? Aham Savasya Prabhavo, everyone together. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Everything emanates from Krishna, yet Krishna is playing in the spiritual world with all his associates. Nothing is separate from him. And we also are not separate from him. Vishnu Shakti Paraproksha Chetra Gya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samganya Chitya Shakti. That we are Krishna's internal energy, but not like Chit Shakti or Vishnu Shakti, but we are just Jiva Shakti or Chetra Gya. Just tiny parts of Krishna. Tiny. The Tasta Shakti. 517. Right? And then, after understanding deeply that who Krishna is, getting some glimpse in one sutra, Aham Savasya Prabhavo Mataksavam Prabhasate, that he is the source of everything and everything comes from him. The wise who know this, iti madhva bhajante imam. What do? Bhajante imam, Krishna says. They worship him. Buddha Bhavas. With great devotion and great attention. That is the symptom of devotion, that we do that seva with great attention. That is affection. We want it to be just right for Krishna's pleasure. Then the next step. What do they do? What is the nature of the bhajan? Of the service of these wise devotees? Madhita Madgata Prana Bodhyantas Paraswara Katayantas Chamam Nityam Sashyanti Charamantita. So Madhita, their consciousness is focused on Krishna only. Only. They don't have to struggle to focus their minds on Krishna. It comes quite natural. I'm always in Vrindavan. Padam ekam nagasthiti. Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam nagasthiti. But Krishna never leaves one step out of Vrindavan. So Krishna told the gopis that you just remember me. And I will actually be there in those remembrances. And the gopis just looked at each other. You're telling us that we should remember Krishna as if that's our problem? Our problem is that we need to know that we should remember Krishna. Our problem is we cannot forget Krishna, even for a moment. This is Krishna consciousness. This is high level Krishna consciousness. That is the difference between Ruchi and Ashakti. That in Ruchi, the mind wanders away from Krishna. When attachment is there, Ashakti, then the mind wanders to Krishna. So Madhita Madgata Prana, that one's life is dedicated to Krishna, one's consciousness is dedicated to Krishna, one's life is conscious, and then Bodhyantas Paraspara, that amongst themselves they're always preaching and speaking. And Kateantas, that means speaking Krishna Katha, Mam Nityam, how often? They don't gather once a day or once a week, but all the time, 24 hours a day, to Mam Nityam. And the result of that is Tashanti Cha Ramanti Cha. Satisfaction and great Rama, great bliss. This is a wonderful, this is a wonderful level of Krishna consciousness, very high level. Baba. Kashanti Chara Manti Chara.
Did you first describe Baba?
Why not? The last one also. Doesn't it say that? Buddha Baba Samanvita. Huh?
It
definitely says that. With great attention. And the rest of Baba is also described here in 10, which we'll speak about right now. So this becomes the satisfaction of a devotee, that he's satisfied just being in Krishna, Krishna Katha. This brings him such pleasure and satisfaction, Tashyanti Saramanita, associating with devotees, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakti Saniva, Janami Janami Hoy. That is the desire of a devotee. That is the source of his happiness. He doesn't long for anything else except to be in the association of devotees and to preach, to satisfy preaching amongst themselves and preaching amongst others also, to make others, make them join the gana of Krishna, the group of Krishna. That's what actually preaching is ultimately. It's recruiting for Krishna Lila, devotees. More friends for Krishna. Then, on the next verse, continues. The last verse explains what they do. They like so much to just hear about Krishna, the devotees, and they derive great satisfaction. But do they hear only? Or what is the? How do they realize? What do they actually realize? How do they realize? Is it just by hearing? Actually, Krishna and Krishna Katha are the same. This is the nature of the Absolute. On the Srimad Bhagavatam and the books of the Goswamis, the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are no different from Krishna. They are Krishna. The Bhagavatam is Krishna, how Krishna incarnates in Kali Yuga, Poranarko Dhanodita, like the rising sun brings light. The Bhagavatam arises in Kali Yuga. But is it just hearing? Text 10 explains the nature of the perception of the devotees. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam vidami buriyogam tam yena mamupyansite. That when someone is satata yuktanam, always engaged in devotional service, as just mentioned, knowing, having that sambandha gyan of who Krishna is, what his position is, that everything is coming from him. Vedanti tat tatvavidat tatvam yad janamadvaya brahmeti parametmeti bhagavaneti sabhyate. Understanding that Krishna is also the source of Paramatma, also the source of Brahman. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna will explain. That I am the source of that Brahman. It is resting on me. So when someone understands that, that is Aham Savasya Prabhavo, Matak Savam Pravatite. So one understands that and then does his bhajan continuously, Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam, and does that service continuously, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu, etc. But not just doing it mechanically or doing it because he's supposed to do it, but priti purvakam, in loving ecstasy, with priti, loving affection. Then Krishna says how he reciprocates with such devotees. And these two verses describe Krishna's reciprocation with the devotees for their bhajan, their loving bhajan of priti purvakam. The dami buddhi yogam tam. I give them the intelligence. But this intelligence, this buddhi yogam, is very, very special. It is not just intelligence, because they already have ramanti, they already have bliss, what do they need buddhi for? But this is actually Krishna himself, through his energies, descends into the heart of the living entity. And this is actually bhava. The dami buddhi yoga, I give them this buddhi yoga. Yena mam upayanti te. And that buddhi yoga directly comes from Krishna. That understanding directly comes from Krishna. That bliss directly comes from Krishna. Krishna enlightens the devotee from within. Krishna himself does this. Yena mam upayanti te. And therefore they even come closer to him. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So he gives them his devotional service and how to go from bhava to frame and frame upwardly. This is all, it's all Krishna's arrangement, it's all Krishna's mercy. Now I'm the last verse in this. So this is Krishna's mercy. And why does Krishna reciprocate with them? In that way, by the dami buddhi yogam tam, why does he reciprocate? Yes, he's kind, but why? What makes him kind? Because they are serving him. Yes. Because their desire to be close to Krishna is insatiable. They so much desire to love him and serve him that Krishna cannot resist this intense desire of his devotee. This is why actually Jiva Goswami describes this in his commentary to Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Samatha Sindhu, that bhakti, the quality of bhava bhakti is, who knows the two qualities of bhava bhakti? That's one, that's the one we're looking for. And the other one?
What did he say first?
Sudolava, very, very rare. Yeah, bhava bhakti means pai bhakti. There are three stages, sadhana, bhava, and prema. He says, moksha lagudakrit, that the bliss of this bhakti derives liberation. And sudolabha, it is very rare, this stage of bhakti where Krishna actually, as Prabhupada is going to explain later, everything happens automatically from this platform on. It's all bliss, but one connects directly with Krishna's internal energy. And then one is actually a devotee. Up to that point, we aspire to be devotees. We are servants of the servants of the servant. Of course, we never lose being servant, the servant of the servant. But we're aspiring. But at that point, we actually become devotees. So it is so rare, because one has to have deep, deep, deep greed. Deep desire. And Krishna will reciprocate with that great ruchi of shakti. But if we don't have that, he will not reciprocate in this way. He'll reciprocate in so many other ways. But when we desire only him, when we have that type of attachment and that type of taste, then and only then, if He desires, will He bestow this mercy upon us and make us His very own. Yeah. And then Tesham, this is the other half. He gives and He takes. Tesham Eva and Kampautam, to show them special mercy, these kind of devotees. Aham Agyana Jam Tama, I remove the darkness. Nishyami Atma Bhavasto, the Atma Bhavasto, the darkness within their heart, He dispels that. Jnana Deepena Bhaspata, with the light knowledge. To show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, just like a bee will enter a lotus flower, when our hearts become like a dham, Krishna will actually directly enter into our hearts. When our hearts become like lotus flowers, what does that mean? When the heart, sudha chitte, when it becomes completely pure and suitable. This is actually described so sweetly in Chaitanya Charitamrita when the description of the cleansing of the Gandicha temple. When it describes how one's heart has to become spotless, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleans the temple of Gandicha for the Lord to arrive there. So similarly, our heart has to become spotless. Sometimes we want Krishna's mercy, we pray, Krishna, give me your special mercy. But actually speaking, in one sense, Krishna cannot descend into our heart because our heart is not suitable sitting place for Krishna. Why isn't it suitable? Because there's so much dirt there. And what is that dirt? So many materialistic, selfish desires that we have. So many contaminations, so many desires other than being a servant of Krishna. So Krishna won't sit there. So when the heart becomes as clean and pure as a lotus flower, blossoming, when it actually becomes a dham, fully Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, cleansed from material desires, saturated with the desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna will surely come. So sometimes, we should want Krishna's causeless mercy like that, and Krishna's causeless mercy comes, but someone still has to be qualified. Just like we read about Narad Muni, the Bhaktivedantas gave him causeless mercy, that's described. But yet it describes Narada's qualities, and his qualities attracted their causeless mercy. So we want causeless mercy in a different sense, so we don't have to work. And we can still, at least I shouldn't speak about you all, at least myself, so I can still be the same selfish, petty rascal that I am, and yet I can still go back to Godhead and enjoy myself there. That's my plan. But Krishna won't reciprocate with that plan. Yeah, He will reciprocate with it, but not the way I want. He'll make sure I clean my heart. He'll put me in situations that... See? To make me make choices about what I really want. And then, when the heart is actually clean, then one can really desire strongly and purely. And then one can really have a deep taste. Tatraloyam apimulam ikalam. This is the one price, the deep greed. But as long as we have so many other desires within the heart, real greed cannot come. Just like if I really want to learn how to play the madanga, but I also really want to learn Bhagavad Gita, and I also really want to learn how to jog properly, and I also really want to learn how to cook, and I also want to really make money and build a house, and I also really want to play the harmonium, and I also really want to learn writing and fundraising and everything. I have so many desires, so many bahushaka tarancha sabhuriya vyavya saina, that the resolute determination will never become there to play madanga or any one thing. Bahushaka. So many branches of desires. But when Ekaya Purunandara Vyavya Satita Bhuti Eka, when the consciousness is fixed, it's like a laser. A laser of a light can cut through steel. And just an ordinary light, it just is light. So when the consciousness has so many anarthas, what is anartha? What does artha mean? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. What does artha mean? Yeah, something valuable. Anartha means? So we have so many things that we value that are actually not valuable within our heart, but we hold them so dearly. These are our anarthas, material desires. There's so many forms of anarthas. Riddha, dolamama, sat, krishna, aparad, and tattva, vibhram. So many anarthas within our heart. So shravanadi shuddha chitti koribe udai. By hearing, then these anarthas will go away, and then when we act. So Krishna destroys everything. He'll take care of everything. But we have to do our part to make our heart very, very clean. And if we have no other desire, then Krishna will help us so much. And even if we have a little desire, he'll help us so much. But if we have pure desires, very powerful and pure desires, then Krishna will help reciprocate with that. Yeyetamam prapadyante. Even though that verse is in which chapter of the Bhagavad Gita?
Fourth
chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Still, that same principle is applicable to us, except in the ninth chapter. We'll hear that it's not so applicable, which we'll go to in a minute.
But Krishna has said in so many verses that he is already there in everybody's heart. He says that I'm already in the heart of all the living entities. In the 13th chapter, he says.
Hanuman cha, he's there. Upadarsha Hanumantacha, what's the book?
There he has been.
Yes, but how does he deal with the living entities? That we're going to go to the 9th chapter right now. And that question will be answered when we talk about Samoham Sabhabhuteshu.